where are my Skokie guys? There we go. Where's everybody else? Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sure they're coming. I'm sure they're coming. You're going to be in a lot of trouble otherwise. Ethan, how are you? Welcome, everyone. My name is Rabbi Tzvi Zimmerman. I'm a Mashgiach of Skokie Yeshiva, so I've been around a little bit. This is a little bit different from last year. First of all, yeah, I'm going to tell you something right off the bat. Last year, nobody left. This entire room was dead the entire time. I know, it's like 6 o'clock and it's really late. Everybody's waiting to like for dinner and then go out. Okay, I'll wake you up. If you're ready to wake yourself up, if you want to get yourself up in seconds later, just stand up a little bit. Stand yourself up, sway a little bit, get yourself going, like get your blood rushing, because I don't want to have any dead people here. This is going to be, we're going to make sure that this is, it works, everything goes together, it'll be all good, everybody will be happy when you come out, we'll actually get something done. It'll be all good. Okay, so here we go. I don't sit much. There is a strange line in this week's parsha. Anybody here go to NCSY? NCSY, we have a couple? Okay, that's not so bad. My parents both went to NCSY when they were kids. That's why I never went to NCSY. But we've always had it in my... They met also. The same thing. They used to sing benching all the time. My parents were a little... They used to have people over all the time. We didn't know how to bench and whatever. And they used to sing it all the time. So my favorite part of benching was by far reading the English of Ba'kol Mikol Kol Kein. Everybody knows that, right? You ever look at the English of that translation? Just look at it. Ba'kol mikol kol. Does anybody have any idea what it means? I mean, I know you know what it means. You have any idea what you're saying? In everything, from everything, everything? That's not a sentence. That doesn't work. It's just random words that just go one after the other that we just take and we put inside there. Now, there's clearly a connection to Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Ba'kol, Mikol, Kol. But it's strange because it shouldn't be read all together as one. It's separate issues. So here's the deal. Avram Avinu was known as Hashem Berach as Avram Ba'kol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed Avram with absolutely everything. Yitzchak Avinu was known Baruch HaMikol. I was able to overcome everything. I came over every problem that was ever there. I took care of everything. Yaakov Avinu, Yesh Li Kol. It's an awesome conversation. Esav goes up to Yaakov and says, Yesh li ravachi. I've got a lot, my brother. I don't need anything. Please don't give it to me. And Yaakov looks at him and says, you think you got a lot? I got everything. Yesh li kol. Even when I give up something, I'm good. I lose something. I give up some sheep. I give up a couple of goats. I give up some camels. I have everything, says Yaakov. There's a remez here. It means that Yaakov has something that not even Avram and Yitzchak have. Because Avram Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu were Ba'kol and Mikol. But none of them came to the level of Kol of Yaakov Avinu. There's something that Yaakov Avinu had that was greater than everybody else. Greater than everybody else. I cannot have a marker board. Is there something here? I have to ask Brother David later on for permission. And now here. Kol. That'll make you good for everybody. You get to concentrate on that. You'll see what's going on. That way you'll forget about the little pious guy over here. You'll look at the Kol and everything will work out perfectly. The idea of kol is something that's just tremendous that Yaakov Avinu had that Avram Yitzchak were not able to get. So what was that? I'm a big gematria guy. Kol is gematria 50. You know what it was? Shara Hamishim. The 50th level of learning. The level that Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to get to. Anybody know the Medrash? Moshe Rabbeinu, he goes and he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to know your ways. I want to know what you do. I want to see what you do in this world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you won't be able to figure out my ways. Moshe Rabbeinu said, please, let me see. And he says, I'll let you. Fine, I'll let you. And he goes ahead and he brings him over to a cliff. Looks down to the cliff and he sees a river. And inside the river, there's a guy, on the banks of the river, there's a guy standing there. And he's just resting. As he gets up, he leaves his wallet there. His wallet falls out of his pocket. Gets up and he walks away. Another guy comes by. He sees the wallet. And he says, looks around, looks for a simon. Said, there's no simon. Puts it in his pocket, walks away. Third guy comes in, sitting by the river, resting, just like the first guy. First guy comes back. He says, where's my wallet? You were sitting here. What happened to my wallet? He said, I just got here. I didn't see any wallet here. He said, I just left 5 minutes ago. What do you mean you didn't know where that was? The wallet was just here. Where'd you put my wallet? What happened to my wallet? Third guy says, I have no idea what you're talking about. And they get into a fight. First guy kills the third guy. Says the Medrash. Moshe Rabbeinu is looking down at this and says, well, how is this fair? How is that there? What did the third guy do? The third guy didn't do anything. It was the first guy that did something. The first guy left his wall. The second guy took it. What's going on here? The Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you don't understand. There's so much going on behind the scenes. He said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'll tell you this, but I'm not going to tell you anything more. I'm not going to go any further than this. Told Moshe Rabbeinu, that first guy owed money to the second guy. He owed money to the second guy. The third guy had killed one of the first guy's relatives. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did is he was misabev everything that happened by this river. That the first guy came and lost his wallet, so the second guy would pick it up and take the money that was owed to him. The third guy would come along, and the first guy who was supposed to kill that person, because he's the Gol Adam. So the first guy came along and killed that third person. So everything works out perfectly, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't you see, everything is perfect. I make sure the world runs in such a way that everything's fine. But Moshe Rabbeinu still didn't get it, as we don't get that. Why did it have to happen that way? What, that had to be? You couldn't do it in any other way? You have to have it be that this guy loses a wallet? I mean, it couldn't happen in any other way. The second guy meets the first guy and says to the first guy, hey, don't you owe me money? The third guy says, like, whoa, I didn't mean to. Something like that happens. Instead, the first guy has to kill the third guy, and this has to happen. Moshe Rabbeinu had questions. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu took on the air of Rav when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, it's not such a great idea. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu took a brick out of the wall of one of the children that were put as bricks in the wall in Mitzrayim, and said, I'm going to take him out, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it's not such a good idea. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu took two people outside of the river, took two people and brought them out. The person in the wall was Micha. The people he brought out from the river was Dustin Vavira. That was supposed to, this is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was a person who understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do the greatest thing in this world, and when he tried to understand, tried to come inside it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't let him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't let him. That's called the 49th level of Kedusha. And Moshe Rabbeinu was all the way up there, but Yaakov was able to get to the level of Kol. He's able to get to that 50th level of understanding. You know what that's called? It's called Sur. Sur. Pasuk in Azinu. Hatsur Tamim Palo, ki kol d'rachav mishpat. The rock. He's solid as a rock. Tamim Palo, everything he does is perfect. Everything he does, all his ways are just in mishpat. It's all in judgment. Do you understand it? No. I'm a slow yid. That's all I am. But Yaakov, we understood it. He looked at it and he understood there's a reason for everything. Everything goes in its place. Everything makes a lot of sense. And that's the level of Kol. Not the Pais guy, the Kol. Right over there. And it worked out perfectly for Yaakov Avinu. Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, even they had a little bit of Sfeikos. Whatever that is, something that we can't really understand by Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu. But Yaakov Avinu had it all. He had everything. Where's the proof? This week's Parsha. I want you to put yourself in Yaakov Avinu's position for a second. He goes to Shechem. He has a beautiful daughter, maybe 9 years old, but he has a beautiful daughter. His daughter goes out. She's taken by Shechem. And a terrible act happens, an absolutely terrible act. So what does Shechem do? You think, you know, give him a couple days, think about it a little bit. He goes right up to Yaakov Avinu and says, your daughter, I want to marry her. There's no I'm sorry. There's no remorse. There's nothing. Shechem doesn't say anything. All he says is, I want to marry your daughter. I'll do anything. I'll give me any more you want. Any ksuba, any amount of money you want, I'll pay it for you. But I need your daughter. I need your daughter. Yaakov, I'll put myself in Yaakov's position for a second. If somebody came up to me, chas v'shalom, it would ever happen to anybody in my family, but if somebody came up to me and told me that they just did this and felt no remorse, I'd punch him in the face. What are you coming up to me for? I do everything I can. I'm much stronger than I look. I would go up to the guy, I'd take my brass knuckles out of my pocket, and I'd just punch him. Who are you? You're coming right up to me? Trust me. You're coming, when you come right up to me and you're going to tell me this, you feel nothing? It's the day after? And this is what you have to tell me, that you want to marry her? Get out of here. Yaakov Avinu does nothing. He's silent. It was like talking to a wall. He's sitting there and he said, I really want to marry your daughter. Yaakov Avinu is just sitting there. Hello? Your daughter? Me? I'll give you $100,000. Just sitting there. Then the Shvatim come home. The Shvatim sit there and they're like, oh, man. And they were me. And the Shvatim sat there a little bit better. They sat there and they looked at it and they said, what is this? And they went out and they killed the entire city. Killed the entire city. And Yaakov Avinu goes up to them afterward and said, what did you do? Can you imagine this? His daughter was taken by them. The whole city was in on it in some way, shape, or form. When you go with the Ramban or the Orachaim, whatever it is, the whole city was in on it in some way. And what does he say afterward? He says, oh, you shouldn't have done this. You shouldn't have done this. What do they say? They say the words, Akizona Yasa Hosenu? What, you're going to make her sister look to be a Zona? Look to be somebody who's of ill repute, a woman of ill repute? You're going to do that? How can you let that happen, Yaakov Avinu? You're going to kill these guys. You can't let these people live. These people don't deserve to live. And it seems that Yaakov Avinu never agreed. You know why? Because Yaakov Avinu understood there's something going on behind these scenes. Certain people have the ability to look behind what's going on. There's a famous story of Rabbi Yitzchak Abuchatzera. This is the Baba Salis. If anybody has ever gone to see Rabbi David Chai Abuchatzera in Ashdod, so Rabbi David Chai Abuchatzera's grandfather was the Baba Sali. The Baba Salis' father was Rabbeinu Masud. Rabbeinu Masud's brother was Rabbeinu Yitzchak Abuchatzera. They were all from the Abir Yaakov. I'm not Sephardi. I wish I was, but that's how it all goes through. That's right. All right. Anyway, so the way we go is that Rabbeinu Yitzchak Abuchatzera was once at a party. He was once at a suda, a big suda that was being done in his honor. But they wouldn't start the suda. They said, we got to wait for the mayor of the town to come. It's the mayor of the town. Oof. Rabbeinu Yitzchak looked at him and said, what do we have to wait for the mayor of the town for? He said, he's a very, very angry man. And if we start the meal without him, he'll get very, very angry at us, and it'll be bad news for the Jews. That's what's going to happen over here. There's bad news, everything will bad that you can think, it's just going to be bad. So Rabbeinu Yitzchak said, we're starting the meal right now. When the mayor comes in, he'll come and he'll join us. So the people were very apprehensive. They said, we don't know. Rabbeinu Yitzchak said, sat down, he washed, started eating, went in and said, everybody, let's go. So they all started eating. An hour and a half later, the mayor walks in. The mayor walks in with his entourage, with everybody else coming in with him. And Rabbeinu Yitzchak looks toward the door, sees him, and starts screaming, get out of here! I want you out of here right now! Get out of here! You shouldn't be in this suda! And the mayor looks at him and says, I'm sorry, did I just wake you up? So either way, he goes and he looks toward the door. He screams, and everybody sits there. Everybody sits there and says, well, what's going on here? The mayor is so angry. He turns red, and he gets out, and he walks out. So the guy who set up the whole suda, who didn't want the whole suda to start in the first place, looks over to Rabbeinu Yitzchak, and he says, Rabbi, he's going to kill us. I mean, this is not something you do to this mayor. What do we want to do? Well, how could you just have yelled at this mayor? Rabbeinu Yitzchak said, I didn't yell at the mayor. So the guy said, we just saw you. You were screaming. As soon as you walked in the door, you screamed. Rabbeinu Yitzchak said, no, I wasn't screaming at him. I was screaming at the malach that came in with him. He had just done a terrible sin. And there was a malach hamashchis that was created from the sin that he had done, and it walked in with him at the very same time. And such a malach hamashchis, it was a huge, disgusting-looking malach. Huge, disgusting, everything tummy about him. I saw that malach, and I screamed at the malach to get out. If you looked at my finger was not pointing at the mayor. My finger was pointing directly at that malach. And I told the malach, get out of here, I don't want to see you. I was pointing at him. So the guy went straight to the mayor, and he told the mayor over what had happened. The mayor said he was 100% right. I was just doing a sin beforehand. This man is a very holy man. Went to Rabbeinu Yitzchak. And you know, all these stories end up coming out. He was Superman. It ended up working out at the very end. No real story. The mayor was a good, became a good person. Everything worked out well, and everything was all good. You have to understand, there are certain people who can see beyond our world. That level of seeing beyond the world is not exactly cool. Rabbeinu Yitzchak was not on this level. But Yaakov was able to see there's something here with Shechem and Dinah. There's a reason why Shechem has to marry Dinah. Shechem stands for Shem Kavod Malchuso, the first letters of Shem Kavod Malchuso, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso, Olam Vaed. There's something that Shechem had that Yaakov knew if Klal Yisrael utilizes that properly, if you harness that effort, if you harness that Kedusha, tremendous things can come from it. Unbelievable things can come from it. It just has to be done in the right way. So what did he see? He saw Tzur. He saw Tzadik Barala. The idea of Tzadik Barala. So that to happen again. Here's the deal. We don't believe in Gilgulim. Gilgulim is in the sense of reincarnation. Reincarnation, that's what the Hindus believe in. That you're going to be a fly, and then the fly turns into a goat, and then the goat turns into a sheep, and the sheep turns into another guy, and then it goes all the way around. You don't believe in reincarnation. That's not us. That's karma. That's the idea of Hinduism. I had an uncle who was a Hindu monk for quite a bit. He was a nice guy. Still is a nice guy. But he taught me a little bit of the Hindu reincarnation sort of business. That's garbage. That's not it. Well, we have our neshamas. Every single person's neshama has thousands, if not millions, if not billions, of nitzotzos, of sparks. Your neshama is made up of tons and tons of different parts. It could be that every nitzotzos is for a certain day. It could be that a certain nitzotzos, that a spark is for every second or every minute. There are certain people who are mitakin who do well with the sparks that they're given, with the neshama that they're given, and they don't need any tikkunim. They don't need to fix anything up. By the end of their life, they did everything they needed to do with those, with that neshama, and everything goes straight to whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in store for us, lasid lava, or whatever it is in Olam Haba. There's something that's there. Certain people don't. Certain people don't have those sparks. Certain people, those sparks are not fully utilized, and they need to come back, but not as a full body, but the sparks of his neshama come within another person to help out that person with what he's doing, or to get a tikkun, to get something going on with that person. Here's what happened over here. The tikkun of Shechem and Dina had to come back later on, and it did. Who pulled Dina out? Shimon and Levi. Shimon and Levi said to Yaakovina, we have a plan. Don't think, Yaakovina, that we're doing this stomp. We also understand there's something going on here. But we'll fix this up. We'll take care of this. And Shimon married Dina. And there was a child there. Shaul ben Akananis. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Shaul ben Akananis, his other name was Shlumiel ben Suri Shadoi. His other name was Zimri ben Saul. Zimri and Cusbi was a Gilgal in some way, shape, or form of Tikkun Neshamos of the original Shechem and Dina. And just like Shechem grabbed Dina and took her by force, Zimri thought that there was an idea on what Shimon wanted. Because Zimri, if you remember, is from, he's the Nasi of Shevet Shimon, thought that the Tikkun that had to be done was to take Cusbi, to grab Cusbi, and to take her not by force, a little bit willingly, because Cusbi was of the Benos Midyan. Bnei Yisrael were being swayed by the Bnei Yisrael, to grab Cusbi, to bring along Cusbi, and to drag her around, and to make sure that everything happened in the right way. So he went to Moshe Rabbeinu. He went to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, is this woman us or is this woman mutter? Grabbed Cusbi and said, what can I do with this woman? Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sure. He was misupik. Is this the right thing to do, or is this the wrong thing to do? So the Medrash Tanchuma says, he looked at him and he says, I don't know, at the end of Parshas Balak. I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. And Zimri said, she's mutter. The same way you married a daughter of Midian. You married Yisro's daughter to bring out the Kedusha of Yisro. So do I. I'm taking the Kedusha. Zimri was 250 years old at the time, says the Chasam Sofer. He didn't have a taiva. He was 250 years old. He grabbed her by the hair and pulled her into the tent and said, this is the way to be metaking everything. And it's Shimon. It's Shimon trying to be metaking Dina. Trying to take care of Dina, the neshama of Shechem, within Shaul ben Akananis, within Zimri ben Salu, worked out perfectly, and that's why their names, Shlumiel ben Suri Shadoi, the word Tsur is in there. Cusbi Bas Tsur. It's Cusbi Bas Tsur. There's a Tsur there, because they understood there's something beyond what's happening in the Chumash. There's something beyond what looks like just the terrible act of a guy grabbing a girl, Bas Midian, and trying to marry her. It's something beyond the whole thing. Shaul ben Akananis had a plan. But Levi said, it's not right. It's still not being done in the right way. Still something's a little bit wrong. Something's a little bit off here. So Levi said, absolutely not. It's over. We're not doing this. So Levi went ahead and took his spear. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen took his spear and killed Zimri and Cusbi. Because it wasn't the proper time. This wasn't the time to do it. This wasn't the proper way of doing it. This is not the way to do this sort of thing. One more time. And by the way, 24,000 people in Shechem, 24,000 people died by the people of Shevet Shimon. Those are the 24,000. Same 24,000 that didn't do it the first time, the same 24,000 that didn't do it the second time, which is going to lead us to 24,000 Talmidim that died by Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the final tikkun. Rabbi Akiva comes back. Rabbi Akiva has the ability to fix up everything that's wrong. I want you to think of connections here. Yaakov Avinu and Rabbi Akiva, I was just told, Abir Yaakov. Abir Yaakov, which is mentioned in this week's Parsha, that it took May Abir Yaakov. Abir Yaakov are the letters of Rabbi Akiva. It's the letters, the idea of Rabbi Akiva. Yaakov is off by Rabbi Akiva by just one letter. It's by the Aleph. There's a connection between Yaakov Avinu and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is a tremendous, tremendous neshama. Tremendous neshama. There's a lot to it. Rabbi Akiva was for sure from Shechem ben Chamor. And the raya is from a Gemara Pesachim, that Mem Tesem Abiz. The Gemara says, if I would ever see a Talmud Chacham when I was in Am Haaretz, says Rabbi Akiva, in my first 40 years of my life, if I saw a Talmud Chacham, I would bite him like a donkey on Ashchenu Kechamor. So the Talmudim said to him, Rabbi, say like a dog. Why do you have to say like a Chamor? And he said, no. Donkeys break bones. Dogs don't. That's the line of the Gemara. It's just a strange line. You know what Shechem ben Chamor stood for? Has anybody done brachos? You don't have to get that far. Daf Gimel? Have you done brachos, Daf Gimel? You did brachos, Daf Gimel? And you're Sephardi. You got two things going for you. I said, okay, so you got there. Right there. If you've done brachos, Daf Gimel, there's three mishmaros. Three mishmaros. Three mishmaros in the middle of the night. The first mishmar is when dogs bark. Klavim soakim. Sorry, the opposite. First mishmar is chamor noar. The donkey's brain, thank you very much. Number two is the dogs barking. Number three, the baby waking up in the middle of the night. Or something crazy. Shechem ben Chamor was supposed to stand for those first two tumas of the night before the baby starts crying, before everybody wakes up. Shechem is mishmar shnia klavim. Mem, Shin, and Chav. That's Shechem. Mishmor, Shnia, Klavim. Chamor is Mishmor, Rishona, Chamor. The first Mishmor is Chamor. That's the idea behind it. Shechem and Chamor is a tremendous amount of Tuma. Rabbi Kiva was able to harness it. Rabbi Kiva was able to get to the level where he understood there are things that happen, and that's all good. What's Rabbi Kiva's favorite line? He was a Talmud of Nachum Ish Gamzu. Nachum Ish Gamzu was the one who said, Gamzu Latova. But Gamzu Latova is something a little bit wrong with it. Gamzu Latova, it's also good. It is a little bit of bad, but it's also good. Rabbi Kiva took it to the next level. What's the next level? Kol Da'avid Rahmana Latav Avid. Everything that God does is good. No such thing as bad. Everything God does is for the best. Kol Da'avid Rahmana Latav Avid. You remember this? It's Kol. Rabbi Kiva was able to come to a level where he understood that there is such a thing as kol. There was a 50th level. There was something so far up there that nobody else can understand. That there's something that goes behind the scenes. Gemara Chagiga, Tes Zayin Mabez, says Arba Nichnesu Lepardes. Four people were able to come to this orchard, a level of learning that's beyond a normal level of learning, where your brain goes beyond human dimension. Your brain goes beyond human dimension. It's something that we can't understand. So you can finally fathom that there is a God in this world. Because as we are, it's very hard to understand logically and physically that there is a God. It's that level that you go a little bit beyond. Four people went in there. Ben Azai died. Ben Zoma went crazy. Elisha ben Avuya, Acher, became an apikoros. You sometimes can go so far off, you forget where you are, you forget who you are, you forget everything about yourself. Rabbi Akiva came out unscathed. Rabbi Akiva was able to go to the level, the point where you can just drop off and die or go crazy or become an apikoros. And he said, I'll stop here. I'm good with this. I'm okay with stopping somewhere and saying, it's okay, there are things that I just don't know. There are things that I'm okay with not knowing. It's okay when somebody passes away and you can't understand it. How in the world could this be? This person, the height of his life. When he's doing so great, he's such a big tzaddik. What happened? How could this person die? Tzur! Tzaddik v'ra'lo. Bad things happen to good people. That's part of life. And that's something that we can't understand, the Torah and Shemayim. Sam, you ever read anything about NDEs, near-death experiences? The ideas of what happens to people after death? Everyone, absolutely, you can go to anyone, every single person that's there, one after the other, they all say the following line. They all say, when you get up there, everything's clear. Everything is absolutely clear. You realize why everything happened to you. And as soon as you come back down, you forget it all. But there's a feeling of absolute peace. The questions that you have, why was I made this way? Why do I have glasses? Why in the world was I born in Chicago? Why did I go back to Chicago? I mean, there's got to be a reason. Why did this happen to me? Well, what in the world am I doing? I'm speaking in Torah Chicago for Skokie Yeshiva. What happened? Well, where did this come from? There's got to be a reason for everything. All of a sudden, it's just clear. Just clear. That's the 50th level. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu got as soon as he went up to Shemayim. That's what Rabbi Akiva and Yaakov were able to have in this world. To understand these things happen. Who can be silent when your daughter was just chas v'shalom raped? Who could be silent? Who wouldn't say anything? Yaakov. Who is able to sit there and watch 24,000 Talmidim die? I want you to picture this. I want you to picture a person having 24 Talmidim. 24. And then multiply that by 100. Then multiply that by 10. And that, if you're a mathematician, will be 24,000. The idea behind it is something, so it's unbelievable. 24,000 Talmidim? 24,000 people? And he stayed silent. Rabbi Akiva didn't look back at a country and say, what are you doing? What did he do? He got five more Talmidim. You would give up by then. I just lost 24,000. But he pulled in Rabbi Meir, and he pulled in Rabbi Yehuda, and he pulled in Rabbi Elazar, and he pulled in Rabbi Nechamia, and he pulled in Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And he made a new world. And all of our Torah is from Rabbi Akiva. Everything we have, Stam Sifra, Stam Tosefta, Stam Mishnais, Stam everything is Rabbi Akiva. Everything that we have comes from those five Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. If he would have given up, who knows what would have happened to Klal Yisrael? We have no idea. If somebody would, and I wouldn't blame a guy for 24,000 Talmidim dying and saying, you know, I'm done. I'm 120 years old. I'm good. I've done everything I could. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them all away from me. I'm living in a time of Korban Bayis. I was wrong about Bar Kochba. There's something that just happened. The Romans have taken over all of Klal Yisrael, all of Eretz Yisrael. I give up. It's over. Rabbi Akiva didn't. Rabbi Akiva kept going. Kept plugging away. And you never hear a single complaint. Doesn't get into the Gemara. We say a lot of things about a lot of Tanaim and Amoraim. You never hear anything crazy about Rabbi Akiva. You hear him saying great things. Great things. You never hear anything about Rabbi Akiva complaining about 24,000 Talmidim dying. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Because that's the person Rabbi Akiva was. So what happened? How did he get out of it? How was he mitakin everything? 24,000 had already died, which means he was on his way to failing the test a third time. Rabbi Akiva had a wife named Rachel. That wife had passed away. Yerushalmi Avodah Zarah does not say that she passed away, but it seems that way from Marcus Lohmann. He's a book called Akiva. If you haven't read it, get it. It's one of the best books out there. Rabbi Marcus Lohmann, German rabbi about 150 years ago, not reformed. Akiva. It's got a green little picture on the front with like a mountain or something. It's got Akiva on the front. If you can get that book, it's great reading. Great reading. It's for a Jewish book, great reading. I mean, if you're into like really good writers, you picked the wrong religion. But it's a great book. It's an unbelievable book to read. So he says the following. At the Gemara in Nidarim, and Daf Nun of Aleph mentions that Rabbi Akiva met Aishas Turnus Rufus. So I don't know if you guys have met Turnus Rufus yet in your Gemara travels, but Turnus Rufus was not an emperor. He was the cousin, nephew, grandnephew, maybe, of Emperor Hadrian. Hadrian, who's the one who destroyed a lot during the times of Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanani and took down Bar Kochba. He was the one who knocked down the Bar Kochba rebellion. Hadrian had this governor, Turnus Rufus, who never really became Caesar, but the Gemara sometimes calls him a Caesar, perhaps because he was very powerful, became a governor in Eretz Yisrael. He used to fight Rabbi Akiva every single day. Fights with him all the time. Go up to him, Rabbi Akiva, you're wrong about this, you're wrong about that, and Rabbi Akiva kept, it's Rabbi Akiva. He was like, he knocked him down. Every single time he brought up an argument, he said to him, this is ridiculous. You're wrong. And every single time Turnus Rufus was destroyed. In front of Hadrian, he was destroyed. So one day, Turnus Rufus came home, and he looked really upset. His wife came up to him, and she said to him, hubby, love of my life, what's going on? Why are you so upset? What happened to you? And he turns to her and he says, I can't deal with this Akiva guy. Every time I bring up an argument, I got these great arguments, unbelievable arguments. I just can't do it. I bring it up to him and he destroys them. I bring up another thing and he destroys it again. I'm made to look like a fool, and I know I'm not a fool. I'm a smart guy, and he's just killing me. I just can't deal with him anymore. I don't know what to do. So his wife said, let me take care of it. Aishas Turnus Rufus was unbelievably beautiful. She had heard that Rabbi Akiva's wife had passed away. She said, I'm going to go. I'm going to seduce him. What did she do? She went to watch Rabbi Akiva, how he would walk home. And he was walking home through certain alleyways, and he had Talmidim with him, but there was a certain way that he was going where if she would be able to be there, she could trap him in an alleyway. So she did it. She had guards come on one side. Rabbi Akiva was coming in. They blocked off the Talmidim, and they made Rabbi Akiva walk a little bit further. And they came to a point where the alleyway was so thin, there was no way for Rabbi Akiva to walk by without touching her. And she was a very beautiful woman. She went all out. She wore her best dress. She got all her makeup on. She got all her jewels on. She went all out for Rabbi Akiva. What did Rabbi Akiva do? It's unbelievable. He spat, laughed, and cried. That's a great pickup line. Aishas Turnus Rufus had no idea what to do. She looked at him and said, what is this? What did you do? Well, what in the world just happened? She was so shocked, she forgot what she was doing. And Rabbi Akiva said, I spat because this beauty is worth nothing to me. He knew, Rabbi Akiva knew, that he was Shechem ben Hamor. He knew that he was Zimri ben Salu. He realized that this beauty had destroyed him twice already. This beauty had knocked him down and made him do something terrible twice already. He said, "This is not for me. This is not for me." He spat on the ground. He said, "Such beauty, I could care less about it." He said, "I cried because this beauty eventually will be buried in the ground." It's so sad that this beauty, like a beautiful sunset or a beautiful sunrise or something else, just the beautiful view of Eretz Yisrael, of Yerushalayim, I should say, from the little bus ride on the way down here as it comes to our Traga. You know, the little view, so beautiful. There's no reason why this should be gone from the world. Your beauty should remain inside this world. Beauty should remain inside this world. I have no taiva for it, but it should remain inside this world. She said, "So why do you laugh?" I said, "That I can't say. That I can't tell you." Mar says he didn't tell her why he laughed. So why do you laugh? Aishas Turnus Rufus was unbelievably impressed with Rabbi Akiva. She saw unreal things in Rabbi Akiva. She was Megayah, and she married Rabbi Akiva. Aishas Turnus Rufus was the neshama of Dina, the neshama of Kozvi Bas Tzur. And she married Rabbi Akiva of the Heter, and it was done in the right way, and the full tikkun happened. Whatever Shechem and Dina tried to bring into Klal Yisrael happened from Rabbi Akiva and Aishas Turnus Rufus. That did not engender a love of Turnus Rufus for Rabbi Akiva. In fact, as you can probably imagine, didn't work out so well. Rabbi Akiva was looked down upon by Turnus Rufus, and it was one of the acts that led to Rabbi Akiva being killed. One of the acts that led to Rabbi Akiva being found and being destroyed by the Romans. Because of Turnus Rufus' absolute anger, Rabbi Akiva, for the whole action. Rabbi Akiva sat there and he said, "It's all good. It's all for the right reasons. This is what's supposed to be." At the end of his life, he did the tikkun. He did the tikkun. We don't know who the daughter or son of Aishas Turnus Rufus was. That's not the point behind this. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho, we know, there's a Tosus in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Mem that says that Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho was the son of Rabbi Akiva, but it seems Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho was something completely different, son from way before. There's also another Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Akiva. Seems that Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Akiva was from Rachel. Seems that he was the son of Rachel. That's from a Gemara Moed Katan. But we're not positive if there was a child that came from, but that's not the point. Sometimes things need to be done in the right way. And sometimes you just got to sit there and you got to say to yourself, "I just don't get it." That's the call. You want to know the real connection between Yaakov Avinu and Rabbi Akiva? Yaakov Avinu, when he first saw Rachel for the very first time, what did he do? He took the rock and he threw it off the well. He took the tzur and he said, "Well, like, grab it off the well." Does anybody remember what happened to Rabbi Akiva when he first became, when he decided he was going to learn Torah? Rachel convinced him. He decided to go learn Torah. What did he see? He saw a rock. And there was water boring a hole inside the rock. Both of them had the idea of tzur. Both of them were able to come up with this idea of tzur. They both came up with this idea of tzadik baral, and they were able to get onto this 50th level. It's an unbelievable level, and it's a level that, unfortunately, we probably will never be able to get in our lifetimes. We might be tremendous talmidei chachamim, but to become to the level of Rabbi Akiva and Yaakov Avinu, you need a lot of help, a lot of siyata d'shmaya. And it seems Rabbi Akiva made the full tikkun for that. Whatever needed to be done was done. Whatever needed to be done was done. You should know, by the way, the Chassam Sofer on Simchas Torah used to make sure that there were 50 aliyahs in the shul. And he gave himself the 50th aliyah, which was Chassan Torah. And he said that the pshat why is because he was an neshama. He had a nitzot, he had a spark from the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu, the day that he died, was on the 50th level. So he gave himself the 50th aliyah and finished off the Torah, and was able to read the Torah by himself at the very, very end in order to show people that Moshe Rabbeinu got his final tikkun, who was able to get to the 50th level right before he passed away. As part of Parshat Hazino, Atzur Tamim Palo, Ki Kol Durachav Mishpat. You can take this word everywhere. Whenever you see the word kol, look out for it. Look out for that word kol. You're going to see it everywhere, all over the place. When you see the word tzur, look out for it, because you're going to see ideas behind this, and you just take this further and further and further. Now, officially, I'm here for Skokie Yeshiva. That's what I'm here for. As you can imagine from the huge sign on the outside of the building that says Yeshiva University, this is not the easiest place to go and grab guys for Skokie Yeshiva. It's probably one of the hardest, if not the hardest. That's not my point here. Everybody should do the greatest thing that they could possibly do in this world. What I came here for is to be able to, number one, show you there's so many things that if you continue learning, you can get to. So many things. You start off with Chumash. You go on to Mishnayos. You go on to Gemara. You keep going through everything. Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos. Just stop. Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos. You'll find secrets that you couldn't believe. When you start really understanding what Rashi's getting at, you'll see unbelievable things. take that to the Rashba, you take it to the Ramban, you take it to the Ritva, and you go on from there and there and there, and then you slowly take it back and you learn the Ramban and the Chumash. Then you realize what the Ramban's trying to say. You learn the Or HaChaim and the Chumash. Then you learn other things. It just takes you one thing, one step after the other. What I'm here for officially is to tell you that there is another place. The place is small. For those who are out-of-towners, it works out a lot better. For those who want to get out of New York, and I hear you, brother, it works a lot better. What we have is a place that cares, that we take care of those people who come to us. Those people that are around, those people that are near us, we try to make sure that they have everything they need to succeed. Whether it comes to their learning and everything they need in order to become a Talmud Chacham in their own rights, or when it comes to Parnassa, in which obviously we're not putting all our money into our Parnassa part, we're not putting all our money into our college. We started a new pharmacy program because we realized pharmacy is a big field. That's something, you know, something that people like and that people like getting into. We started our pre-law. We started our accounting. We started business. If you're looking for a specific track, a specific idea, something that you want to do, and you want a place that's small enough that you'll be looked at, you'll be called, you'll be texted, people will say hi to you, and that's okay, and you don't have to worry about anything, that's the type of place that we are. And we try to do everything we can for everybody that comes. I don't know if it's the best place for you. I don't know if it's the best place for certain people. I do know that there are people who need this. And if you need it, don't be shy. Don't be hesitant to come up to us. We're doing a survey. And the survey is how we can do better with everything we do at Skokie Yeshiva. The survey is made specifically to help us, but it's for you as well. Everybody who fills out the survey is going to be entered into a drawing, which we're doing for all the different yeshivas to win a set of shots. It doesn't hurt to sign it out. At the very end, it tells you, are you very interested in Skokie with the 1 through 5? It doesn't really matter. If you write a 0 and you're picked for the shots, you still win the shots. I may do something to you, but you still win. It's perfectly fine. Regardless, all we want is for the best for everybody here. If you find some place that's great for you, unbelievable. That's what you're supposed to do. Find a place that's great. If you can stay in Eretz Yisrael, don't leave, because it is a world of tuma. On the plane going back there. What do I need the plane? In the airport on the way going to the plane on the way going back to America. What do you need that for? But if you have to, if you got stuff there, and we all do, then know what you're getting into. Know what you're getting yourself into. Prepare yourself. Get yourself ready. Know what you're going for. And help yourself. Rebbeim and Eretz Yisrael are 8 hours away. It's very hard to call in. Very hard to get your Rebbe to be able to talk to him. Unless you're up at 4 in the morning, which is another problem. It's hard. And everybody in Eretz Yisrael is learning. I'm saying they're not wasting any time. It's very hard to get a hold of a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael. You need that kesher. That needs to happen. You got to write emails. You got to text. You got to make phone calls. You got to do everything. But you need a Rebbe in America. I hope that everyone finds it. I know that everybody's going to try. But you got to find it. You got to really have it. Then you'll know what to do with your money. You're not going to spend your money on children's zoos and museum wings and everything else. Spend your money on things that matter. Things that matter. To Klal Yisrael. For all of Klal Yisrael. Wish you all bracha. Wish you all of hatzlacha. Not to get to Kol, but to get as close as we possibly can. Thank you very much, everyone, for coming.